The Last Word with Matt Cooper on Today FM.
So it's 20 years today since the release of the first Harry Potter book, Harry Potter and the Philosopher's Stone. And of course, we then had a whole series of books and movies as well based on the books. To talk about them, we're joined by Valerie Loftus from the dailyedge.ie. I'm going to start with Sarah Webb, who of course is herself an accomplished writer. But I think you used to sell books, didn't you, at the time when Harry Potter first emerged?
That's right, Matt. I had been bookselling for a couple of years when the first Harry Potter book came out. I was a children's bookseller, and at the time I was working in Waterstones in the children's department there.
And how quickly did sales take off?
That's the interesting thing. They didn't actually sell in Ireland. The first book, the first print run of the first book was 500 copies. So they obviously didn't have huge expectations themselves, Bloomsbury. So they brought J.K. Rowling over to promote the book for the paperback of it. The first, it came out in hardback first. And then they brought her over to Ireland because the sales were so slow in Ireland, which is really hard to believe now. But that was what happened.
I hope so, people turned out to see her when she came over to Ireland, or did they?
No, she did an event in... I was must have been working in Easton's O'Connell Street at that stage. So they brought her over the year after the first book came out. We had a small event for her in Easton's O'Connell Street in the children's department for a girls' school called St. Kevin's in Kilnamana in Talla. And she did a school event for two classes. And then we went for dinner with her that evening.
And at this stage, did she realise that she had created something that was going to, was becoming highly popular? If not in Ireland, but elsewhere?
I think she was extremely pleased with what she'd created, and she was really enthusiastic and very excited about the book being out at all. To be honest, I spent most of the evening talking. We were both single parents at the time, and we spent most of the time talking about childcare, which... is kind of unbelievable to me now that I wasted a whole dinner with J.K. Rowling talking about childcare. But there you go, that's how life happens.
Okay, when did the books sort of... Because I remember sort of these enormous midnight openings of bookshops for books as they went along. When did that happen in Ireland?
So it took about a year for the books to really kick off. They were very much word of mouth. And the UK and Irish publication date was obviously 1997, and they came out in 1998. The first book, which was called The Sorcerer's Stone, came out in the US. And that was when they started really kicking off. So it was maybe 8 months to a year after the first hardback came out. But after that, they stayed top of the New York Times bestseller list for roughly 2 years after August 1999. So... after the first kind of 6 to 8 months, I think that was when the word of mouth really, really kicked off. And it was literally word of mouth. That the marketing was pretty non-existent, to be honest. And then when the film, you know, when news of a film deal came out, and when the first film came out in 2001, that's when the midnight sales party started. So, you know, from 2001 on, so from, I think, the third book on, there was these huge midnight parties. We had fire eaters, everyone dressed up, and it was like a big celebration of the new books. And obviously now it's become this worldwide phenomenon, but it did take a little while. And J.K. Rowling only got a 2.5. She got £2,500 advance for the first book. And after that, she got a grant from the Scottish Arts Council to work on the subsequent books because she needed them.
I don't think she's in need of grants now.
No.
I think the value of the franchise is about $15 million.
I often wonder, did she pay that back to the Scottish Arts Council? But there you go.
Valerie Loftus. Stay with us, Sarah. I want to bring in Valerie Loftus, who writes for the dailyedge.ie. Truthfully now, what got you into Harry Potter? Was it the books or the movies?
Oh, it was the books, yeah. I remember my friend had read the first one. I think she'd had it out of the library at the time, but the second one was there, so I got the second one just to have it, just because so I could keep up with her. So I got the second one, read that first, was completely lost. I thought Harry was Ron and Ron was Harry, but, you know, I loved it anyway. So when the second one, or the first one was back in the library, I got it straight away and devoured that. And then every book after that was there for the Goblet of Fire midnight release party in like 2000 or something like that.
What age were you when you started reading them?
I must have been 7 or 8. I think I was 7. I was quite young because I don't 100% remember like reading it, but I definitely remember getting it out of the library.
But the books changed as they went along, didn't they? The first book is actually much simpler in its writing and its storytelling, but then the books got bigger and bigger and darker.
Yeah, and I think that's probably why everybody was able to keep up with them and keep along with them, because they did grow along with the readers and the characters aged along with the readers. I always kind of felt the change around the fifth book, The Order of the Phoenix, where Harry gets really angsty and just shouts at people all the time. And I was like, 15 or something when that came out. So I was like, yeah, I get it. He was just roaring at people the whole time for the whole book. But then when the Voldemort story really kicks in, it does get very dark. And I suppose if you're learning history around that time, you're like, whoa, there's parallels to World War II and, all that kind of stuff. So it gets very adult as it goes along.
Sarah, did the books get better for you as they went along?
Do you know, it's funny, this is not often a popular choice, but my favourite book is the second one, The Chamber of Secrets. I've always had a huge fondness for that. And I suppose I first encountered them in my 20s when they first came out. I'd be a bit older now than Valerie. And I think Valerie's so lucky to have encountered them as a child reader. You know, the magic. Luckily, I kind of read like a child, to be honest. So the magic is still there for me. But yeah, book two was definitely my favourite. But I adored the way that J.K. grew the characters up along with her readers. So, I mean, everyone goes on a journey together, reader and writer alike. And to me, that was what made them so magical. And to me, the reason they've been so enduringly popular is she puts so much heart into writing them. I mean, the love she has for this world and these characters just kind of leaps off the page. And I think that's, for me, that's what sets them apart from other books. They're just so full of heart, you know.
Then, Valerie, when they were turned into movies, what did you make of these books that you loved been turned into movies?
Oh, I was raging because I was like, oh, these kids, they get to live the Harry Potter life. You know, the ones who were cast, I was like, how dare they, get to live the Harry Potter life when I wanted to live the Harry Potter life. And I thought they weren't right and they didn't look right. And of course, once I saw the films, that all fell away. But it was just the first few months. I remember when the cast came out, I was just like, how dare they? But I was skeptical a bit for the first few films, but by the time the last one came out, because the books had ended in the meantime, so it was kind of a way to hang on to the story for a little
longer. And how faithful were the adaptations?
They were pretty faithful. They dropped a few things, like I think a lot of people missed like Peeves the Poltergeist, who was a big thing in the books and didn't appear at all in the films. And then there's just little changes, like Hermione's whole quest with the house elves, I don't think was very featured very heavily, which was a huge thing in the books again, and like led to her and Ron getting together in the end, because Ron decided he was actually for the house elves after all that. So people missed those kind of things, but ultimately I don't think they were that different.
For you, Sarah, did you watch the movies?
I did, yeah, and I had the great joy actually of watching them with my children. So I've watched every single one, and actually what the anniversary has done is it's going to send me back. I'm going to over my holiday start next week, so I'm going to reread the whole series from beginning, because I haven't read them now since they originally came out. So I really enjoy doing that, and I'm going to read them to my youngest as well.
Are they something that you would read aloud or encourage a child to read for themselves?
Both, I think, depending on the emotional intelligence of the child and the age of the child. Every young reader is very different. I love family read-alouds. I'm a big fan of sharing books with children. I mean, my son is 11, but he gets read to regularly. So I'm looking forward to doing that. As I said, it's been 20 years since I read the first one, so it's going to be quite the adventure.
We're doing much the same in our house at the moment. All the kids have been through it, and the youngest has been inducted in recent weeks, I suppose you could say, into the whole Harry Potter thing. Valerie, you've also done the thing that we've done as a family as well, go on the studio tour in London, which is absolutely fantastic.
Oh, I'd recommend it to anybody who is a fan. Even if you're not really big on the movies, just to see everything is incredible. Like, the Great Hall is there in its entirety. The Potions Dungeon, the Umbridge's office, I thought was amazing to see that. I was like a child there myself, because I was on the Hogwarts Express, and I'm so happy to be able to say I was on the Hogwarts Express, And it's a nice little trip. I think if you are a Harry Potter fan, it's not that far away. So get over to it if you can.
It's spectacular, all the recreation of all the various sets and everything. And they also have a thing in Orlando, the Wizarding World of Harry Potter,
which
is part of the Universal Studios.
Yeah, that's the dream. That's the bucket list. That's what I hope to get to see in my lifetime.
Sarah Webb, has it become too commercialised, do you think, perhaps?
I don't know. I mean, I was thinking about this, but, you know, it has changed the face of children's books forever, and it has changed it for the better. When I first started working in children's books, which was over 25 years ago now, children's books were kind of the poor relation of the bookshop. They were in the back of the bookshop. There was very little media coverage of children's books. They certainly wouldn't have been on your radio show, Matt. And they were between 10 and 15% of the market. These are the UK figures in 2001. And now they're 25% of the UK market. And people like Julia Donaldson, David Walliams, Derek Landy, Owen Coffer, they're household names. And that has been in the last 20 years, and that is due to J.K. Rowling. So I can kind of forgive any commercialization, because I really do think not only did Harry Potter save the world, but J.K. Rowling saved reading. And to me, that makes her really a champion.
And just to finish your juice off, Valerie Loftus, did this turn you into a wider reader? Does it, as a younger person, persuade you to go for the physical form of the book rather than reading off a Kindle or an iPad or anything like that?
I was already a pretty big reader by the time I got to the Harry Potter books, but yeah, that would have kick-started. And to see a character like Hermione, who was praised, you know, and who was cool, even though she was, you know, into books and a kind of a teacher's pet, that was a huge kind of boost for me as well. So yes, I was certainly pushed further and further into reading by Harry Potter. But as for Kindles and stuff, I think that's a different argument. But I would definitely say I was more into reading because of Harry Potter.
Thank you very much, Valerie Loftus and thedailyedge.ie. And Sarah Webb, author of children's books. Some of your comments coming in. I remember my mum buying me my first Harry Potter book. I had no interest in reading when I was younger. What I didn't know at the time was that I was dyslexic. The story was so captivating that it kept me interested and sparked my love of reading and stories. I owe a lot to J.K. Rowling. So a few of you given out about it and say you don't like Harry Potter. Well, it's not for everybody. It's not for everybody. Another listener says, my son, aged 12, he's reading for the third time all of the Harry Potter books. He just loves them. What a great habit to get into.
The Last Word with Matt Cooper on Today FM.